I was just talking with the guys a few seconds ago about a good friend of mine, Benjamin Franklin Johnson. It was a tradition black folks had of naming their kids after some famous American in hopes it would inspire that kid to rise to great heights in his life. This little discussion is going to be about someone who was similarly named. We know him as George Benson, but his full name is George Washington Benson. And he did, as his name would suggest, given to him by his parents, rise to incredible heights. He was born in 1943 in the Hill District of Pittsburgh. That's where the black folks live. And at a very early age, he had this ability with string instruments. People called him a child prodigy. At 18, he was playing ukulele. At 8 years of age, he was playing ukulele at a local drugstore for a few dollars here and there because he was really good at it, and people would stop to hear this young black kid playing a ukulele. Probably he was only 8, and a uke was probably the right size for him. By the time he was 9, he graduated to a guitar. And at that time, some of the old guys started checking him out and went, man, this young boy can play. We can get him into some places where some folks can really dig him. So they started sneaking him into some of the speakeasies, some of the unlicensed nightclubs. One of the great things about being black is we got a whole lot of unlicensed nightclubs, and people don't come looking either. You let you have your fun, long as nobody's getting stabbed or shot or anything. Everybody has some fun. So George at 9 was playing in one of these little speakeasy bars, juke joints, we called them, as Quincy Jones would call them, a juke joint. And it was all going real well until the cops did notice that a lot of people were showing up and a lot of money was being made, so they couldn't have that. So they went in there and closed the thing down. And George got in a little trouble, and he was actually pretty angry about it. This was the beginning of his little making some money scheme, and he became a little rebellious and, you know, stopped going to school and started getting in trouble. And they took his guitar as a result of him being caught playing in this club illicitly. And so he didn't have a guitar. He was just angry. He ended up going to what we call the reformatory school. Very, very common trail for jazz musicians. If you all will remember, Louis Armstrong went to the Colored Waltz home, and that's where he learned to play the mellophone, then the cornet. Well, George didn't learn to play in reformatory school. But when he got out, his stepfather made him a guitar. And that's one heck of a stepfather, okay? Made him a guitar. Obviously, there's not a lot of money in the family. And once again, George strikes out doing what he's doing. But this time, the deal was you keep your education happening. So he went to Pittsburgh's famous Shinley High School. I remember they had a really good band program, great marching band, great jazz band. Not sure if George ever participated in any of that. I probably doubt it. Because by the time he was 17, 18, he was already playing a lot of professional gigs and had become the regular guitarist with Brother Jack McDuff, a great organ player, probably the biggest organ player out there in jazz other than Jimmy Smith. And so George was playing with one of the baddest cats on the planet and was doing gigs with other guys, that kind of a bluesy, funk, soul jazz that the organ players were playing on those B3s back in that time. He did graduate from Shinley and go on to do his thing here and there and gain some notoriety because of all the great recordings he made, particularly with McDuff. And he had a chance to make recordings of his own. And he did that with friends he knew, keyboard and baritone sax, Ronnie Coob on baritone sax, first two albums he made. And they did, you know, okay. But got his name a little bit further. You know, they were not his first recordings, because even at 9 and 10, he made recordings for some of the smaller bootleg kind of labels, and actually had a couple of minor hits just in the Pittsburgh area, but they were not hits by George Benson. They were hits by Little George, because there was also from Detroit a guy named Little Stevie, who we came to know as Stevie Wonder. So you had Little Stevie in Detroit, and you had Little George in Pittsburgh doing their things. Now, as time would have it, George kept getting more and more famous for his guitar antics. And George could sing. And he always did do a little bit of soul, a little bit of blues, a little bit of R&B. Somewhere along the line, he started doing things like This Masquerade. Sounded like Stevie Wonder. The Greatest Love of All, which was actually a part of the soundtrack for the Muhammad Ali bio, The Greatest. And later, of course, Whitney Houston did it as Greatest Love, and it became an even bigger hit. But George's star is rising. Speaking of stars, he is one of the few guys that has a star in Hollywood. And he's also one of the few guys that has almost a dozen Grammys over the 30 years that he's been recording. But back to the timeline. About the same time, we're in the middle 70s here, late 70s, and he's got this album coming out and this whole thing, and he meets this little singer named Minnie Riperton, who some people call a soul singer, but I know her from the very early singers when she was in a group with her soon-to-be husband called the Rotary Connection, and that was definitely a rock group. So Minnie could do a whole lot of things. She had this incredible voice, and so George did some stuff with her too, and he always loved the vocals of, say, Donny Hathaway and Ray Charles and people like that. So around the same time, Warner Brothers had a subsidiary a label called Quest Records. I call it Q West, Quincy Jones on the West Coast. And Quincy got George to record Give It a Night. And it was pretty much wall to wall, soul ballads, jamming, danceable, singable tunes that everybody loved. And Q, when he speaks, you listen. Q said, baby, you need to continue with that Donny Hathaway kind of thing, with that Ray Charles kind of thing. That's your ticket to ride, baby. Well, they did that one album and spun up all of these hits. And now George is out there, big solo artist. He is filling concert venues everywhere. He had a time with CTI Records and did those great CTI tours. I actually saw him on tour with CTI, Winter Jazz with Yerto and Flora Purim and Hank Crawford and Grover Washington and Stanley Turrentine. And of course, Stanley had a big hit called Sugar. Guess who the guitar player was? That's right, George Benson. So not only did George have this thing going where he's got these big, big, big pop hits of his own, but he's also continuing to play jazz, straight ahead jazz, soul jazz, whatever jazz and blues, because that is where he came from, and he never forgot it, and he never stopped playing it. So now we're in the late 70s, and his concerts are selling out. He's filling big stadiums. He's traveling internationally. Everything is going great. You know what? George is a very unusual man, very unusual musician. A lot of musicians get distracted. George had actually got married back in 1965 to his high school sweetheart, Johnny Lee. They are still married. 60 years later. Yeah. George had this big career and travel, but he's a family man. One wife, seven kids. He said it keeps him grounded, and that, with his religious convictions, is why most of the songs he sings are about love and romance and positivity, because that is what is in his heart, and that is what is in his soul, and that is the message that he wants to spread. Now, he became a wealthy man, and everybody knows he's got homes in Hawaii and homes in Europe, and he got a place in Inglewood, New Jersey, and who knows where else. He's living large. And he's doing international festivals. He slowed down a bit, but he still does festivals in the Middle East, in the Orient, all over Europe, in Africa. National Endowment of the Arts named him a jazz master. That's the highest award they give the jazz musicians. And you know what? He's still active out there, doing his thing. Yeah. 77 years of age and still going strong. From Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Hill District. Born poor, child prodigy, playing in clubs at 9 with Jack McDuff, 17, 18, 19. Big hits in the 70s, 80s, international. And he's still going with movie soundtracks, you name it. And some of his songs, Give Me a Night, This Masquerade, these songs are going to be around forever. So George is going to continue to touch our hearts forever. So his family named him George Washington Benson. Now, George Washington may have been our first president. There is no doubt that George Benson is the number one jazz guitarist singer that this country has produced in terms of record sales, popularity, and the love quotient, baby. Thank you, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Shinney High School, and everybody, Brother Jack McDuff, for bringing us George Washington Benson. Thank you.